with information on the latest developments in assistive technology and initiatives from the studios of 2RPH in Sydney. RPH Australia brings you AbleQuest.
I'm Barbara Sullivan. Today's AbleQuest topic continues the conversation with Jeremy Way, co-founder and general manager of Genie Mobile. You may have heard about Genie, a telecommunications provider that is a social enterprise, through sponsorship messages on 2RPH. Apart from offering well-priced mobile options, Genie provides an option of a help package, which includes a 24/7 help service and GPS locator service. These mobile solutions aim to help people be independent and involved in the community and is ideal for situations where a user has a disability, is elderly, or suffers from early-onset dementia. As a not-for-profit organisation, Genie puts all profits generated from their mobile customers back into supporting the community. I asked Jeremy how and why the family charity, Community Connections, became, of all unlikely things, a telecommunications provider.
We had this problem, and the problem was, how do we make mobile phones safe, secure and affordable, as well as accessible for people living with a broad cross-section of disabilities? We didn't know where we'd end up, but one thing that we did know was that the traditional telco model in Australia did not play nicely with disability, and we needed to solve that problem. This is 2010. This is back when the telco industry in Australia was not the most proactive customer-facing industry.
I recall those years.
So we started talking to the telcos about disability, and we had very mixed results. First cab off the rank, we actually spoke to Telstra, and they were not terribly interested in what we had to say, to be honest with you. They've changed their mind since then. We thanked them for their input and moved along. Mm-hmm. We sat down with Optus. We started talking to a number of people inside of Optus, and they referred us to their wholesale division. They actually had a very different approach. Their view was that, unlike many big brands, disability is something that most large corporates in Australia at that time really did not do very well. And there's many reasons for that. I mean, customers living with disabilities tend to have low incomes. They also tend to have higher support needs. So that means that they tend to be a low value and a high cost customer. The other thing that's very important to think about, and this happens across all brands, if you actually want to deal with disability in a meaningful way as a top-tier brand, then you're actually leading with the chin. For a lot of brands, what ends up happening is that brand guardians step in and say, let's just deal with disability from a compliance perspective, or let's throw a little bit of corporate social responsibility money from the marketing budget into it, you know.
Let other people
box,
get on,
let
yes.
other people deal mm-hmm. with it. So Optus sat down with us and said, look, we understand exactly what it is that you're trying to do, and we can see the opportunity here. We are not in a position to do it ourselves, but if you're prepared to look at it, then maybe you should consider becoming the telco. In other words, we would buy airtime from Optus at a wholesale rate. We would repackage it. We would have to do it under our own brand. We would have to do all of the billing, all the customer support, all the technical support, all of the marketing, the whole thing, and we would have to become the telco in and of our own right.
So you became an MVNO.
MVNO, a mobile virtual network operator, and so begins the number of four-letter acronyms that inhabit the telco space. We walked out of that meeting thinking two things. The first was, how hard can it be to start a telco? Famous last words. And the second was the aha moment, because this gave us an opportunity to actually build a social enterprise and have recurring revenue streams and to divorce ourselves from traditional government funding requirements. The reason for that is that in Australia, there are 30 million mobile phone connections. And we thought, well, okay, if we can get 1% of those, then we'd be doing all right. That began the journey, and it's been a very, very interesting journey. We started off providing a range of very disability-centric mobile phone plans that were attached to handsets, which sold the mobile phone plan, the handset configured with all of our bespoke applications on them, attached to our 24/7 help center solution. And we started to market those through disability service providers. Now, the thing that happened at that point is that the National Disability Insurance Scheme started started to come onto the radar. Now, we actually publicly launched the Genie Mobile service in May 2013.
Primarily focused on providing a solution for people with disability.
That's correct. Predominantly for people living with disabilities, but also providing mobile phone connections for family and carers as well. Now, our go-to-market strategy was a traditional business-to-business approach. So we would sell the services to the end users through disability support providers. National Disability Insurance Scheme was launched at that period of time. And what ended up actually happening there is that threw the entire sector into a great deal of turmoil. No one actually understood where the sector was going, but everyone understood that all of a sudden there would be an enormous cash crunch coming because traditional funding for disability was always state-based and was traditionally done by payment quarterly in advance to disability service providers who would then use the money to provide services to the people that they supported. Under the NDIS model, it moves to a payment in arrears model. So every disability service provider had to come to terms with how are we going to fund that four-month working capital gap. And that meant that everyone literally turned the screws off extraneous spending. And our service was seen as extraneous spending. And basically what ended up happening was that disability service providers actually said, we love your product, we love the service that you provide, you can market it directly to our people, and it's their choice whether they choose to buy it or not from you, but we will not be buying it on their behalf.
So you were in the brave new world of consumer marketing.
Absolutely. But the problem with that is that the funding had not at this stage flown, and it still doesn't really flow through to the individual. So whilst we could market our services to the individuals, they were in no position to pay for the services directly. We probably launched our service 2 years too early. So we had a bit of a problem. We had a problem that we had a reasonably high-cost product. Running a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week call centre is not cheap, particularly in Australia. And we've had many, many people suggest that we should send our call centre offshore, which will never do.
So you're faced with a dilemma, make some money.
That's right. How to keep the lights turned on.
And for these people still to have their solution had developed.
There was a bit of a moment where we had to sit back and look at the service that we provided and to try and really tweak the social enterprise model. As I mentioned before, there are 30 million mobile phone connections in Australia. Within the disability segment, you're looking at a market of about 300,000 to 400,000 people. Two questions had to be answered there. How do you actually make those people aware of our services? And secondly, how do they pay for those services? Mm-hmm. On top of that, there is an enormous group of people that sit around a person living with a disability. So traditional support, so immediate family, extended family, neighbours, community groups, support workers. Mm-hmm. And we started to work out ways that we could reach those people and look at providing them with a mobile phone solution that met their needs as well. We also tried to work out ways that we could market our services to the wider general public and make them feel that they were doing some good by simply moving their mobile phone service over to Genie Mobile. So that was the philosophy because, again, the telcos has spent many, many years telling their customers that they really don't value them and they really don't like them. And it's only been in the last couple of years that they've really tried to focus and change their customer experience. There's a lot of customer cynicism out there about your telco.
So just to clarify, as an ordinary mobile customer, I could sign up with Genie, get a handset on contract, get monthly bundle options and so on, and then any profit you make from me is put towards providing these services for people with disabilities.
That's mostly correct. The only difference is that we do not supply handsets anymore to people, and we don't do that because handsets are really expensive and we can't be competitive in sourcing them. And the general market has moved along now as well in that most plans are now purchased on a month-to-month SIM-only plan where you supply your own handset. So we provide month-to-month, no-contract SIM-only plans to everyone, and anyone can move their service over to Genie Mobile. They can keep their own number and they receive an extremely competitive rate. And all of the profit that's generated from those connections goes towards supporting our primary purpose, which is providing support services to people living with disabilities. We also donate a number of services to people who can't afford the services as well. So we currently have in excess of 200 people that we've provided services to that are donated, and we just provide those free of charge to people. So that's the model. It's a social enterprise model. Yeah. We like to say, make your mobile do some good. So Apple and Android we support. You sign up for a service for us. If you require the extra managed services, as we call them, the help center, then we will provide you with a link to those apps. You download those. We give you a username and a password. You put those in and away you go.
So how does somebody sign up?
It's online only. So you just jump onto our website, which is genie.org.au. So genee.org.au. And follow the links from the front page to any of the products, and you can sign up directly online that way.
The thing that seems fairly obvious from the way you've been talking about the phone and the services provided, that it's as relevant for elderly people who don't have any specific disabilities, but just have never really been familiar with technology, feel comfortable with mobile phones.
Absolutely. What we have found is that our service is applicable to anyone who needs just a little bit of extra support. And we have a number of people who are elderly, who have a desire to live in their own homes for longer. The government strategy at the moment is aging in place. That's all well and good, but you need to be able to provide people with the support so that they can continue to live independently in the community. A lot of people have pendant-style devices which they push, which are connected to their landline at home if they might get into trouble. They're very good services and they work extremely well. The only problem with them is that they're limited to operating inside the home or within, think, about 30-metre radius of the landline.
That's a very good point.
So what our service does is it provides people with a mobile phone with a very simplified user interface that if people get into trouble when they're out in the community, they can call for assistance via our help centre and we can support them. I've had one person, he's had early stage dementia and his daughter bought him the phone. We had to track him. She couldn't find him one day and he was wandering along the breakdown lane on the M5 and, you know, those sorts of things. So you can call us. Doesn't matter if there's not really anything wrong. We're not going to judge you. And that's the important thing that people need to understand, that there is support. It's there. It's on demand. It's only when you need it, but it is there. And we will give you a level of personalised service that you need.
Genie, where did the name JWNW come from?
I'd like to give you a really good marketing answer to that about how it's we make dreams come true and all of that. The reality is that we went to a branding company, a marketing company early on, and trying to work out how we would market this thing and what the brand would be and the name and the colours and all of that. And they came back to us with a dozen different logos and choices. And when we sat down and investigated them all, some didn't have the domain names available. Others had trademarks that were already registered. And we ended up going through probably four dozen different names and combinations. And this was the first one that we came across that was available, had all of the domain names available. And we actually just went, that'll do.
I have been speaking with Jeremy Way, GM of Genie Mobile. And if anyone would like to sign up to Genie's mobile service or even just know more about it, you can call 1300 054 631 or their website is genie.org.au, spelled JWNEE.org.au.
You have just been listening to AbleQuest, a program that looks at developments in assistive technology. From Barbara Sullivan and Marnie Roper, thank you for listening and goodbye till next program.